pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, and that we would hear your word, and that it would bear fruit in our lives, all to your honor and glory. And so we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. So perhaps you've noticed, or maybe you live under a bucket, that politics in our country has made things a bit tense recently. Now, my intention today is not to weigh in on various political issues that we're facing or various opinions on the previous or current administration. But I know that this is and has been a tense and stressful time for many of us. Divisive elections in November and runoffs in January. Police shootings and uncontrolled riots across the country. Hate crimes, the crisis at the Capitol, executive orders, taxes, economic concerns, new laws that are being considered that would have catastrophic implications for our society. Oh yeah, and a global pandemic, and every single person's expert opinion on how best to handle it. And it is very understandable in the midst of all of that why some people are becoming very vocal about politics, speaking up in ways that perhaps they never have before. And others, on the opposite extreme, are just plain tired of it all and are getting numb to it and just don't want to be political at all at this point. Well, this morning, Christians around the world and Christians here in this room are making the strongest and most visible political statement of the entire year. More than elections in November, more than January runoffs, more than any other day of the year, we are joining in a deeply political demonstration. And we are joined in doing this by Democrats and Republicans, by those who live in democratic countries, in communist countries, and in monarchies. If we understand what today is about with these palms that you have in your hand, we will see that the church declares every year a radically political agenda and allegiance. So let's think together about Palm Sunday as we continue our series that we've been going through, Walking with Jesus Through Holy Week. If you've been following along in this series, you'll notice we kind of went out of order on this one because we wanted to, this is the first event of Holy Week, but we wanted to save it to actually go through it on Palm Sunday, even though it's out of order. So what is really going on with the donkey and the palms and the cheering on Palm Sunday as Jesus rides into Jerusalem? Well, now, up until this point, Jesus has been very quiet about his identity. He has not wanted the public to know that he is the Messiah, the promised one from God. And when people notice that about him, when they recognize that that's who he is, his true identity, he tells them to be quiet and not tell anyone. But on Palm Sunday, he does the exact opposite. Jesus goes out of his way to make a public and open display that he is, in fact, God's Messiah, God's anointed king who has come to establish God's new kingdom. God himself, the second person of the Trinity, to use good theological language, God himself is coming among us to set us free and establish his kingdom. Our heavenly king has come. And in doing so, he declares on no uncertain terms that all other political and religious systems have been put on notice. He and only he can have our primary allegiance. At the Passover, this was the beginning of Passover week, but at the Passover, about 150,000 Israelites would make pilgrimage to the city. There were about 30,000 Israelites living in the city the rest of the year, but during this week, about 150,000 more would come to town. And here comes Jesus on his way from Jericho up the hills to Jerusalem, coming with a huge crowd of people who are also on pilgrimage to the city. And when he gets close to Jerusalem, he and his disciples do a few things specifically to declare that Jesus really is the promised Messiah, the one that all these Israelites have been waiting for, the one who will come and defeat their enemies. And Matthew's account of the same event specifically notes that the whole city was stirred up at his arrival, and I bet they were. Here comes someone leading a huge crowd of people who are shouting and cheering and calling him the Messiah, a new king and a deliverer from you. Thank you very much. And the powers that be were nervous about this northerner who's coming into town, leading what looks like it could turn into a pretty large army. See, that had actually happened before. A northerner came in and led a rebellion, and the Israelites called him the Messiah. And so the political and religious leaders are quite nervous about this guy as Jesus arrives. And he rides in on a donkey. Now, custom was that people making pilgrimage to Jerusalem would enter Jerusalem on foot. Even if they had ridden an animal the whole way, they would walk the last bit to enter the city. That was the tradition. So when Jesus comes riding in on a donkey, that would have gotten people's attention. Jesus does the opposite. Apparently, I mean, we read throughout the Gospels that Jesus and his disciples, they walk everywhere. There's no need, he didn't need to ride an animal. But as he approaches Jerusalem, he chooses to acquire and ride a donkey to make a very deliberate point. In the Old Testament, in Zechariah 9:9, it says, "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey." Riding a donkey was actually a very kingly thing to do. Kings did that a lot in the ancient world, and we have examples of that, people like King Solomon from the Old Testament. Jesus goes out of his way to make it very clear, I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. And possibly thousands of Galileans who were also traveling in the same direction up to Jerusalem understood his claim, and they were ready to join his army. He's a very different kind of king than they were expecting, but he comes as the Jewish king nonetheless, and the powers that be killed him for it. And the palms that you have in your hands. An Israelite who knew their history and knew their scriptures would recognize this. In Israelite history, there was a deliverer named Judas Maccabees, not to be confused with Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus, totally different Jesus, hundreds of years apart. But Judas Maccabees came in and fought the Greeks, and the Israelites welcomed him, the one that they believed to be the Messiah. They called him that. They were wrong, but they called him that. That's who they thought he was. And they welcomed him coming into the city by waving palm branches and laying them in his path. What we see here on Palm Sunday with Jesus here, this is not just some sort of spontaneous, joyous action. Everyone's overjoyed, so they grab the closest thing and wave it. No, they knew exactly what they were communicating by waving these palms and laying them in Jesus' path. This Jesus, he is our new king, and he will deliver us from our oppressors. You oppressors, you're not in charge anymore. We're with Jesus. And so when we gather together and wave palm branches today, we are making a deeply political statement. We're not with you. We're with Jesus. We're reminding ourselves and each other and even the world that we are not standing as Democrats or Republicans or Americans or Bahamians or Nigerians. We are standing as Christians, as followers of Jesus, and anytime our world leaders expect our primary allegiance, we commit again to following Jesus above all else. And these palm branches are a way of pledging allegiance to Jesus, and to Jesus, and specifically not to a political party or even our great nation. So no matter who the president is, No matter who our senators or governor are, no matter what the economy does, no matter what laws are enacted, no matter what we think is right or wrong about handling our pandemic, our allegiance is to Jesus, and everything else pales in comparison. And we look to him and him alone to put the world right. No president, no government can put things right. We look to Jesus for salvation and healing. Jesus does not come to fulfill anyone's political agenda. He is a new king, and his kingdom will always be at odds with the kingdoms of this world. And so these palms remind us never to confuse our political affiliation or our nationality with allegiance to Jesus, God's true king, God incarnate who has come among us to save the world. This, by the way, is why we're very careful when it comes to expressing patriotism in our church services. We can and should honor and respect our country and its leaders and those who have served, absolutely. But we must never put love of country or singing to our country where the worship of Jesus belongs. And Palm Sunday reminds us every year that our allegiance is to Jesus above all else, and the powers that be, whatever they are, have been put on notice. And so Jesus enters into Jerusalem in the most politically charged way he possibly could. And his followers and the crowds that go with him announce him as God's promised Messiah, which he is. And Jesus does establish God's kingdom. But he does it not by military conquest like they expected, but he establishes his kingdom through suffering love on our behalf, on the cross. See, Jesus doesn't just set us free from bad political leaders like the disciples expected and honestly like we often expect. But Jesus, our King, sets us free from our ultimate enemies of sin and death, defeating them on the cross. The cross, the ultimate political weapon used to enforce Roman power. Do you know during the siege of Jerusalem, they literally ran out of trees? They crucified so many people. This was what Romans did to assert their power over everyone else. That weapon becomes the tool by which Jesus establishes his kingdom. But not through forcing the cross on others, but by submitting to it and taking it upon himself for us. In suffering love, he takes our place on the cross and dies our death for us. God himself comes to take our place. And all who turn to him in faith, who put their trust in Jesus, are welcomed into his new kingdom, into a kingdom of love and wholeness and forgiveness and truth. And as members of that kingdom, we can actually then be the ones who make the greatest impact in our world, because God continues his kingdom work through his people. So we can vote and campaign and work to change, work for change specifically because we're a part of his kingdom and not merely this one. So on Palm Sunday, we officially begin walking with Jesus through Holy Week. And from the very beginning, we are challenged to recognize our King and pledge our allegiance to him above all others. And so I invite you to walk with Jesus through this Holy Week, all the while keeping in mind that the events of this week show us the kind of kingdom that Jesus brings, a kingdom of forgiveness, a kingdom of justice, a kingdom of sacrificial love for others. So as we enter into Holy Week, let us renew our commitment to following Jesus above all else. And let us look to Jesus as the only one who will put the world right. And let us put our faith and trust in Jesus, in God incarnate, who left the throne of heaven to suffer and die for us, that we might be saved and set free, and to establish his new kingdom, the kingdom of God. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen.